When God created man, man was placed in the garden, a garden that provided all his needs. In Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 8, it says, "The Lord planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Everything that man needed, God had provided. But as we know that as the story continues, man sinned. And in chapter 3, and then starting in verse 7, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings." I want to start at verse 17. And then verse 17, it says, "And then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I have commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." This then becomes the basic punishment for mankind. No longer is God going to provide everything God is commanding man to work. And it's by the sweat of the brow that man will eat his bread. The basic subsistence man needs is no longer going to be provided. It has to be worked for. And so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 7, "For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted." I've got 1 Thessalonians. I want 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 7. "For you yourselves know that you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, but nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we did not have the right to do this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, he is not to eat either. For we heard that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread." Here then is then the basics command. We have to work to earn basically what we need to eat. That requirement came all the way from the Garden of Eden. That's why our theme for this month is going to be bread. Because that then becomes a symbol of many things that we need to learn about our lives here on earth. Despite the fact that we have to work, we really need to ultimately realize that God is still providing for us. See, the farmer sows the field, but he doesn't cause the plants to grow. He doesn't make this plant produce seeds. That's all the work of God. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building." Oh, sorry, verse 7. "For then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God causes the growth." The growth comes from God. Even when we're talking about teaching the gospel, planting the seed of the gospel, we have to understand the growth comes from God. We just teach. It's the word that convicts the person. And in the same way, though, the illustration that's being used is the fact that the farmer doesn't cause the plants to grow. God does. Whatever we make, even if you're not a farmer, whatever you make is formed from things that God provided. Things that God created for us to use. It is God who supplies everything that we cannot supply. In fact, take a look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and in verse 10, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnish seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Here's another thing farmers can't provide. They can't provide the rain. They can't provide the sun. That is things that God provides, that a farmer makes use of. We cannot provide everything that we have in our life, but we make use of what God has given to us. For that matter, my very own body. Well, I like to think of it as me. That body has been provided to me by God. In Psalms 139. Psalms 139, and starting in verse 13, "For you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." Ultimately, God does provide far more than what we do ourselves. If you think about it. And that's illustrated by God providing for the Israelites in the wilderness. He gave them manna. Oh, but they had to go gather it. Yes, but they didn't make it. They didn't make sure it showed up on time. They didn't cause it the last 2 days from Friday to Saturday. Yeah, they had to gather it. But that's so little compared to what God gave them. When we look at our lives and look at all that God has provided, far beyond what we put our effort into, are we seeing that God fearfully and wonderfully made us? Are we appreciative of all the things that God has provided in our lives? In Psalms 107, look at verse 8. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. And that verse is not really talking about bread, not directly. Though we can talk about all the physical needs that God has provided for us. But we understand that when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Satan asked him to turn stones into bread. And Jesus' response in Matthew chapter 4, and in verse 4, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." What really allows us to live is not the physical food that we have. Yeah, we need that to continue living here on earth. But what really allows us to live is God's Word. And so in the Sermon on the Mount, just a few pages over in Matthew chapter 5, and in verse 6, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." It is then God's words that give us what we really need, what we really crave, and what really will satisfy us. Jesus said in John chapter 6, when a crowd was after him to provide food like the manna in the wilderness, Jesus' response was, "But I say to you," John chapter 6, and in verse 36, and that's not the one I wanted. Now I can't find it. I wanted the one that said that they give spirit and life. 63. I reversed it. I don't normally reverse my letters. Thank you. In John chapter 6 and verse 63, "It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." There is where we have our sustenance. This is what satisfies our cravings. See, that's the problem with bread. When you eat it, eventually you're going to get hungry again. You can stuff yourself full like on Thanksgiving Day. But eventually you're going to get hungry again. But Jesus offers true bread, something that completely satisfies. Take a look at verse 35 of John chapter 6. He said to, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, but he who believes in me will never thirst." He gives something that satisfies a craving, not the physical craving of hunger and thirst, but the spiritual craving. See, people constantly look for something to fill that void in their lives. And they'll try all sorts of things. And it seems like it's never enough, because it doesn't really satisfy. People get off into drugs, into sex, into other things. They're looking for something. But what Jesus offers is a very satisfied life. And the gospel is satisfying. When we partake of the bread of life, our spiritual needs are met. And we never hunger again for something more, because that's what we needed. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. "My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." God is able again to supply what we need. Man didn't come up with the gospel. This came from God. It wasn't something we could have done. God supplied it to us. Now, we need food in order to live. But even when we have ample food, people still eventually die. See, bread alone won't keep you alive. That's what Jesus' point was. And so what Jesus offers, going back to John 6, is true bread. John 6 and verse 48. "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus is saying that he is the way to gain not just life here on earth, but eternal life. He can provide something that satisfies and it keeps us living beyond this life. Now, we've just gone through a season where we get together and eat Thanksgiving meals and enjoy the fellowships of each other. In fact, that's a lot of times what we do when we have meals. We have other people over. We enjoy being around other people over our meals. And Jesus is offering a fellowship as well. In verse 56 of John 6, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. There's a closeness. There's a bond. There's a fellowship between the ones who are partaking and the one who's offering. When we obey the gospel, we become a part of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 7. Or 3, sorry. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And in Galatians chapter 3. And in verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Is there where we get our needs satisfied? And it's why the apostles went through the world teaching the gospel to bring us into fellowship with God. In 1 John chapter 1, and in verse 3, 1 John chapter 1, and in verse 3, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So where do we put our efforts then? If we are offering or been offered a spiritual food that gives us eternal life, that satisfies our longings, that makes us better people, where do we put our efforts? Shouldn't we put it in something that actually lasts? You know, you leave bread unused and it eventually becomes stale. It's no longer fit to eat. We need to labor for a food that doesn't have an expiration date on it. Take a look at John chapter 6 again. John chapter 6 and in verse 27. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal. The teachings of Jesus never expire. They last to all eternity. This idea that, oh, we got to change the gospel because times have changed. No. The gospel doesn't have an expiration date. And do you realize that, well, bread is sold. But Jesus gives his teachings to us freely. Teachings that bring eternal life. But the thing is, we have to understand, is there is only one source for this bread. It's John chapter 6, 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is no other revelation that can result in eternity in heaven. We got the Book of Mormons, science and the key to and health with key to the scriptures, the Quran, the Rig Vedas, the Bhagavad Gita. Every other work of man fails because they're not true food. Not true food for the soul. Of course, then the question is, well, how do I get a hold of this bread? We're going back to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. You have to listen to what Jesus has taught. Because Jesus is teaching what the Father taught. This is the source of the bread of life. And you need faith. It's not enough just to know what the Bible says. You've got to believe it. In John chapter 6 and verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up in the last day. And jumping down to verse 47, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. You have to accept what God has said completely. In fact, accepting only a portion of Jesus' teachings won't do it. We have to fully partake. Take a look down at verse 53. Sometimes confusing. John 6, verse 53. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. And I believe what Jesus is alluding to is the peace offering that was given in the Old Testament, part of the Old Law. See, in the Old Law, when a person sinned, there were sacrifices they made to get back in right relationship with God. But then there was a sacrifice that was called the peace offering that was given after all the other things were done. These were offered up to God, but there was a requirement on it in Leviticus chapter 22. Leviticus chapter 22 and in verse 29. When you sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, you shall sacrifice it so that it may, you may be accepted. It shall be eaten on the same day. You shall leave none of it until morning. I am the Lord. It was to be completely consumed. Well, you realize that Jesus is our peace offering to reconcile us to God. And in Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, for through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things on earth or in things to heaven. Jesus died to make peace. His was a peace offering. But we have to fully partake. It can't be just a little bit. It has to be in a complete immersion in it. Or as what Paul said in Galatians 2. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's no longer my life, it's Christ's life. But it's never been my life, because God made me. I'm only here because God created me. Jesus offers us something that we can't provide for ourselves. We can't get into heaven by our own means. Jesus offers us a teaching that gives us eternal life. He died on our behalf so that we might have that. So are you ready to fully partake of what Christ is offering? That's why Jesus says, unless you eat of the flesh and drink of his blood, you have no life. Unless you take up that sacrifice and make it a part of your own, you cannot live. There's a time right now that if there's anyone who wishes to become a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren as you struggle in this world and try to do what is right, your brethren are longing to help you. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the selected?